Good morning and welcome to Connect and Grow Radio Show with your host Jackie Grant. So it's Tuesday here in Australia. Where are we at? What's going on? Well, we are leading into some long weekends, people. So before we know it, Easter's going to be here, potentially school holidays. I don't know. I don't have young children anymore, so I tend to lose track of the school holidays and things like that. But generally speaking, it kind of is weird when you think about it. That good morning, we have Natalia. So I'm going to get Natalia on in a minute, but we'll just finish this train of thought. That sometimes we have these holidays and then we get back into it and then we've got more holidays, but then sometimes that's just never enough. And it's really all about our mindset, our attitude, our perception, our beliefs. So what we're telling ourselves. So for example, if you go, really need more time off, then it doesn't matter how much time off you actually get, it may never be enough. Now, that thought, that idea, that concept leads me into welcoming in Natalia. So we'll just unmute Natalia so she can speak to us. Good morning, Natalia.
Good morning. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So because this is your very first time here on our Connect and Grow radio show, which is also our podcast, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the listeners. Just share with them a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, where do I start? So I like to work with whole brains, I suppose. So there's the left brain linear way of describing what I do, which is essentially an accountability and mindset coach. But if you flip then to the right side of the brain, which is where our intuitive, big picture, holistic thinking is, I see myself, and it deals with metaphor, color, imagery, that side of the brain. So in that sense, it's my purpose in terms of the vision I had early on in my business is to be a lantern bearer. So I shine a light so other people can see their path more clearly. So that's essentially what I do. Yeah.
Nice. Lighting the way for people.
Yes. So I don't tell people what to do. I just shine a light. So I ask them questions or I show them or introduce creative processes to them and help them find their own insights.
Love it. Love it. So I shared with the listeners yesterday that when I was putting together the Connect and Grow magazine for March, which is now live and available, you can get the e-magazine on our website, and we will look at stocking the paperback. We're just not going to sell it as much as Amazon does. Amazon sells it for $93, and I'm like, wow, like that's, I better lift my game a bit, like, you know. The pressure's on. But as I was like piecing it all together, because for those of you that don't know, Natalia writes for our Connect and Grow magazine every month, along with Kathy and Vivian. So what I do is I say to the girls, okay, this is our theme for the month. And then they write something in their area of expertise. And I don't read it until the time where I'm about to put everything together. And I was writing the feature article this month, which was on, about embracing change. And then I was doing my part for the business to business and then also the weight management. And as I'm like typing it all up, and so that's three separate articles, right? And the focus being on change and things. I got to your article, Natalia, and I was reading it and I'm like, we are so in sync. It's not funny. So as Natalia has written in her article, and so I kind of love the fact that that actually happened, because it's just then going to, people are going to get the same type of message in a slightly different way from two separate people. And I don't know about you, but I personally think that sometimes we might not hear it from one person, but we can hear it from someone else. Would you agree?
Oh, look, I think, yeah, everyone's perspectives are different. And yeah, somebody will say something in a particular way and it'll land. And sometimes it's also timing as well. So, you know, you might hear it from somebody else and then at some point you read somebody else's work and it's just, yeah, the right time. And also, yeah, exactly the way it's pitched in a way that's particularly relevant for you.
Yeah. So while we're talking about the magazine, would you like to share with the listeners, now don't give too much away because we want them to go get it, but a little bit about what you shared in the March edition, because I also know that there was a really great valuable gift in there too. So if you'd like to just share just a hint so that they might like to go, and we will put the link in the write-up for the recording as well. We'll do that later today as well.
Yeah, look, well, I think it was quite interesting, like in the lead up just before you introduced me, like it's all about mindset, really. So in terms of getting ready for change, it's not just about, you know, we need our action plans. We need to work out what actual physical steps and things we need to do, what support we need to get. But also it's about getting your mindset in the right place. Like, what are your expectations? How willing are you to change? And also your self-talk. So as you're actually going through the process, what do you do? And yeah, as in terms of referring to that gift, so my work, it's evolving over time, but the more I work, you know, I started in, the left, right brain, you know, trying to get a whole brain approach and using both sides of the brain, but really, you know, our brain is part of our body and, you know, our body is connected to our nervous system and we also feel our feelings and emotions through our body too. So it's also about tapping into the resource that is with us, you know, 24 hours a day, our body and how it feels, and actually using that as an indicator about how your mindset, how your thinking is affecting your body and yeah, how that comes through in terms of stress and discomfort or relaxation.
Yeah. I did talk a bit yesterday and even in my articles in the magazine, I've included a recording around stress and binge eating. So I've included the link to that because one of the things that I did prior to releasing my excess weight, so what contributed to my weight gain was the level of stress that I operated on. And back at that time, so over 10 years ago, I did not know that I had neurodivergent traits or like have any diagnosis. I just thought this is just who I am, you know, like I take on a lot. Everybody goes, you're doing too much. And I'm like, actually, no, I'm really bored. Like, give me something else to do. So my normal was so different. Now that I have insight and awareness into it, I can actually monitor it differently. But I used to, and I was sharing with the listeners not long ago about a habit that I had that I worked at a particular place on a Friday. So my job was split between two campuses. And on a Friday, I loved the people. I was just so bored in the job. So there was no stimuli for me. So it was like, get me out of here. So as soon as I could go home, I did. And I remember driving past a service station. I tell the story that I called in there one day just to get fuel. And then I was like, I really feel like some chips. Oh, I really feel like, you know, chocolate. And I didn't realize at that time that I was actually stress eating. So I'd come home and the kids were still living at home then. They'd always have their friends around on a Friday night, super cool. They always ordered in, which was fine. But I would sit on my bed watching TV so they could have the other area of the house and eat chocolate chips, and then I would have pizza or Chinese or whatever they had ordered in, right? So I also had that as well. And every time I would finish, I wouldn't even think about, you know, I wouldn't like get in my car and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to go and get some chips and chocolate. No, that wasn't even my thought. It was the minute that I saw that service station, it was like, oh, I have to go in there and get it. So one, I was paying top dollar for this junk food. And two, it wasn't even a massively conscious thought. It became a habit. So would you like to speak to the listeners around how you could possibly even help somebody that has that kind of a habit on it just started, but, you know, what would be your process? Like, how would that work?
Well, there's a lot of different ways of approaching it, but one of the modalities that I do now is called Psych K. So that's actually quite a simple and effective way of working with our subconscious beliefs, because as you sort of alluded to, after a while, and that's with, you know, and with good habits, we want that. We want to, you know, if we want to start an exercise routine, we want to get to the point that, yep, we automatically put on our, you know, our exercise clothes and we can walk out the door and we feel like, yep, we're going to go on a walk now. And, you know, it's like driving. It's like after a while we sort of start doing things, and then once we get to a certain skill level, then it just becomes that automatic. And, you know, you're driving down the road and you're going, oh, wait a minute, how did I get here? You know, because you've been too busy in your head or listening to the music or whatever. And I mean, you know, that's not necessarily a great thing, because we want our attention while we're driving, but that's sort of an example of, you know, how we do. We've got so much skill around and looking and things like that that we're not consciously aware of. So, yeah, this process that I work with, actually there's a whole lot of left and right brain techniques to get both sides of the brain talking to each other and reducing the stress. Because what will happen is, and that's what I sort of allude to in the article for March, is that, you know, we can have a goal and it's all great. Like when our goals and our motivation and our beliefs are all aligned, then it's really easy to take action. So, you know, if it's the exercise or the healthy eating, if you've got everything's all aligned and consistent, then that's all fine and it's easy to take action. In fact, you know, you're probably actually looking forward to doing things, like it's actually bringing you pleasure. But if there's anywhere that, in a sense, there's a disconnect, so, you know, you want something, but actually, in fact, there's some discomfort in your body, then that means that there's something, subconscious, at a subconscious level, that doesn't necessarily believe that. And there could be all sorts of reasons, you know, all sorts of reasons why that has, you know, happened, you know, through childhood, or, you know, somebody said something, or something, you know, something happened to you. There could be a whole lot of reasons why, but in terms of this process, it doesn't actually matter why. All it does is goes, right, is there stress? Is there a disconnect? And then it basically gets both sides of the brain talking to each other so that you reduce the stress. And then it means it's sort of, and then it, you can take action to actually then support that goal and then reinforce the good neural pathways that you want. So because I think, you know, and that's happened to a lot of us, you know, we procrastinate about doing something, it's been on our list, and, you know, the dread, we feel like we put it off for, like, you know, sometimes weeks, and then we finally do it because we just have to, there's a deadline or something, we do it, and it's like taken us maybe 5-10 minutes or something ridiculous, or we go, actually, that wasn't too bad, like, what was all that stress that I had? But that's what happens, like, we get into our heads about certain things. And so that's what I see this process. It's sort of akin to that. It sort of takes all the stress and you're suddenly going, oh, wow, actually I can do something, because, yeah, there's not that disconnect in terms of the stress. So that's why I find it's really interesting. So I've given a few, you know, belief statements in the article, and just check in and just actually feel in your body, like, where are you at in terms of the change you want to make and your willingness?
And
are you consistent? Where are you feeling discomfort? And, you know, that's where you can go, all right, well, it's not a bad thing. You go, oh, I'm feeling discomfort. Oh, you know, there's absolutely nothing about who you are as a person, whether or not you're lazy or not. You know, it's got nothing to do with, there's no judgment around it. It's just something's happened. It's a stress and you just need to somehow release it or reframe it, do something.
Yeah, no, that's nice. And because that is the thing, that our beliefs create our reality. And I learned a long time ago that if I really believe something, like wholeheartedly, in with every cell on my body, so to speak, I then find the evidence that for that to be true, whether it is a positive or a negative, I then will somehow find that evidence that this is true. And it's like creating opportunities, but sometimes our self-belief also impacts that as well, because if we sit and we think, well, I've had so much, you know, I always attract the wrong person, or I always binge eat, or I always, something always goes wrong. If we're repeating that, if I rang you up and said, you know, if we were chatting and you said, so how are you going? And I said, oh, God, it's been a really crap day. You know, and I focused only on what went wrong rather than what went right. And then the next day I did the same thing. A couple of things are going to happen depending on your boundaries and your beliefs, is that one, you're either going to help jump in there with me or you're going to stand back and go, you know what, Jackie, I really enjoy your company. You're a great person. However, can we kind of focus on what is working? Now, if there's a major problem, I'm kind of happy to help you out. But, you know, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'm just more using that as an example that we've got to have these healthy boundaries, because the more we repeat something, the more it becomes a belief.
Yeah, and we're so influenced by outside, external, like, yeah, our friends, our family, you know, what we're watching in the media, what we're watching, you know, TV, movies, all sorts of things. We're very sensitive to all of that as well. So it is, those boundaries are really important. And actually a lot of it's around self-awareness, really. And boundaries change over time because, you know, that's, once again, we're learning, evolving people. We're not static. We're constantly changing. The world around us is changing. So, you know, once again, it's not a bad thing to go, oh, you know, that happened. Oh, that must make, you know, and then take it to mean something negative about yourself and go, well, actually, no, all right, well, where's the discomfort? Why am I feeling this discomfort? How can I, what would I have preferred instead? And then how can I support myself to, you know, if I'm ever in that situation again, what could I do differently? Or how could I set myself up so actually that situation never happens again? You know, things like calendar blocking, you know, there's all sorts of things. There's so many systems we use now, and just even the rules and things we can put in, you know, just even how we schedule things, make things a lot easier, you know, or just, you know, my favorite thing is, you know, thanks, I'll get back to you, you know, when somebody asks you something, just, or even just taking a few deep breaths. I heard something, somebody said, you know, when the phone rings, and not that our phones ring that often anymore, but, you know, we're texting, but even you could do this before you open up your text or your messenger app or whatever, is just to take 3 deep breaths before you actually even go into that space, so you're actually in a more sort of relaxed, open state, so you know you're not already, you know, sort of hyper vigilant, stressed, and then, you know, you've got to go, oh, how do I respond to that? So
yeah, love it.
You know, helping yourself, I thought that was a really nice way. I was thinking, oh yeah, just take those 3 rings if it's a phone call, or just 3 breaths, you know, before you open something up, and just be present. Because I think that's the other thing, and I think you alluded to that in your discussion with Kathy about, you know, just the busyness that we're constantly in, and if there's a whole lot of stuff happening in our minds, we're really not in a good place to make a good decision, and then we make a decision on the fly, and then we go, oh, later down the track, why did I say that? Why did I agree to that? And it was because we weren't actually really thinking properly. We didn't have that space. So it's just amazing. And once again, that's that body-mind thing. Like, just let your body relax, your nervous system, you know, get into a better space, and then you'll have the clarity in your head to actually make a better decision.
Yeah. Well, we've got – that's awesome, Natalia. We've got Black Dragons Radio this person comes on every so often. They've got their own show as well, and they've just written that phone calling, like they think phone calling will be a thing of the past eventually. You know, things are always changing. And I tend to agree with that a little bit. I had someone yesterday that wanted to know a bit about they had some questions around their NDIS business, and rather than going to my website and calling my 1300 number, they actually just called me by a Facebook Messenger. And I'm like, now you're in my personal space. And so I've been trying to work out, because I am in a lot of social groups on social media. So a lot of groups on social media, and a lot of the groups will only allow the personal profile in there. And so you can't kind of do your business thing, because you can't in your personal Facebook send an automatic message, but you can from your business profile. And a lot of it is that, you know, I might have responded to something, like someone commented on something from 2.5 years ago and expected whatever was happening back then to be a thing now. And I'm like, yeah, no, things have changed. But it's this, it can be very hard, I find, with social media, that even I turn the alerts off, right? So I physically have to look, unless I'm like, when I was working with you girls around a few things recently, I turned my alerts on because I actually wanted to capture your responses so I could like stay up to date with what we were working on. But now I turn my notifications off. Wasn't able to respond back now. Okay. Yeah, so I turn my notifications off, so I physically have to look at it to then make a decision whether I want to go in and look at those messages. But lately what's been happening, and especially in the disability sector, there are so many changes going on, and they're not even announced changes. They're like just things that are happening that are kind of leading to where the changes they said they would bring in, they're kind of leading there without saying, yeah, now we're doing it differently. And a lot of people are panicking, a lot of people are worried, but it's so hard. Thanks for the love. I appreciate it. It is so hard to sometimes switch off if all we've got is all of these notifications and things coming into us on the phone. I sometimes, not very often, but sometimes I miss the day where the phone was on the wall and it didn't come with you. I mean, I love the fact that I can, if there's an emergency, I've got instant access to support. But yeah, I sometimes miss that, yeah, the phone's ringing. Yep, that's nice. Anyone going to get it? No. Yeah. There's this music in the background.
Yeah. Well, and you setting, you know, changing your notifications, that's a perfect example of boundary setting, really. And also an example of how you're navigating, oh, actually, you know, things are changing in terms of like, oh, they can reach me through my personal profile, not just my business profile. You know, that once again is an example of how our boundaries are constantly shifting and moving. And, you know, there's no hard and fast rule, really. It's what works for you. And some of that you just work out through trial and error, you know.
And Black Dragons Radio has just written that nothing stays the same forever. And that is so true. Like, that's kind of, and I think that where I want to go with this topic is, because March's Connect and Grow magazine is all about change and the challenges, and that change can actually be empowering. And yesterday I talked about the fact that sometimes a change will occur, right? It's out of our control. It might be at the government level or at the workplace level, and it's completely out of our control. But it's whether we choose to react or respond to that change that then leads to what happens next. What do you think of that one, Natalia?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, nothing does stay the same forever. And, you know, I think we'd actually be quite bored if it actually did. but that's the whole, thing about just once again giving yourself the space to be able to make a change and actually having that self-awareness and that insight in a sense about, well, what do I like about this, or how can I work this to my benefit, or, you know, what is the bright side of it, or, you know, what does it mean? And there's always pros and cons in everything, really. And I suppose it's just up to us, back to that sort of, I suppose, gratitude, appreciation mindset that you're talking about before, that it's up to us in a sense how to see that. And sometimes that's easier to see than others. Like if we're in a really stressful place, you know, just in our mindset, it's really hard to see that. So yeah, it just depends where we are, and it comes down to that, I suppose, growth mindset versus fixed mindset approach too.
Yeah, and the other thing that I noticed too, this is why our relationships change as well, is that whatever the relationship is, like, we're not going to stick to one fixed definition, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a friendship relationship, whether it's a workplace relationship, whether it's a parent to child relationship. As one person grows in that relationship, but the other person doesn't, or maybe they don't at the same pace, that can sometimes bring up opportunities for conversations, opportunities for reflection, and opportunities to sit and reevaluate, which is where I'm thinking we might go in April. Like, I haven't fully decided yet with April's theme, playing with a couple of things, but just how, if we do create change and we do grow, how do we approach it when someone says, hey man, you've really changed and I don't know that I like it? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's sort of a tricky one, isn't it? Because in a sense, we don't, it's that whole this saying about, you know, what somebody else thinks of you is none of your business.
Yeah, but it's, and I know, it sometimes.
and I know it feels harsh sometimes, because it's like, what do you mean? Like, I should care what they think about me. But then the way I've then flipped it is gone, well, I don't want somebody else telling me what my opinion should be of anybody, right. You know?
Yeah,
so,
right.
So fair enough. Like, if I can't, if they can't tell me, you know, they can't change my opinion about them, then fair enough. I shouldn't be able to, you know, change their opinion about me either, you know, like, fair's fair. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, and so it is, but it's a hard one to be in because, and, you know, that we talked about it before, like, any of the, you know, opinions or anything, and if you suddenly make it about, oh, well, then it actually, it's something, a judgment about me personally, and, you know, then it reflects what my value or, you know, how worthy I am or how, you know, lovable I am and things like that. That's when I think it gets really that tricky, you know, space, and that's when we can go, oh, you know, actually, that person doesn't like me, or they don't like this change anymore. That means it's something that's, yeah, some sort of evaluation on me and my personal character. And I think that's where it can get tricky. And so then we go, oh, actually, I don't want to change because, you know, we want to be liked and we want to feel a sense of belonging. So, you know, then it can limit us in our changing. So that's when it does help to get that support to have, you know, Julia Cameron calls them, you know, a believing mirror, somebody who actually believes in you and actually believes you can make the change and believes you're making a good change and supports you. Whether or not that's a professional or whether or not, you know, it's a good friend or you know, a loved one, but somebody you can trust and go, actually, no, you know, they're on my side. They believe in me. Yep, I can still do this. And yeah, look, it is a tricky one because, you know, we don't change at the same rate and the same pace and, you know, and sometimes people rise to the occasion, you know, somebody else will make a change and, you know, like it could be a food related, you know, you're suddenly eating this food and somebody else in the house is going, wait a minute, I don't want to eat that. Like, why should I be eating that? You know, I want to eat this, but you just don't know. And we also don't know the ripple effect of how we influence other people. I've had people tell me that I'm vegetarian, but, you know, they've known me over time and they've said, oh, I've, you know, influenced their eating habits that they eat more vegetables. And I'm like, wow, like I've never actually said to them, I think you should eat more vegetables. But it's really interesting that maybe they've seen the choices that I've made in terms of maybe, you know, things I've picked at restaurants or, you know, maybe when I visited, I've asked for certain things or I've only eaten certain things or, you know, or maybe they've, you know, looked up more recipes or something for when I've come over or something, but it then actually influenced them. So we actually don't realize what a ripple effect in a positive way that we can do. Just, you know, it's like that whole thing when you give yourself permission to be yourself, you also give other people to be themselves too. So
they're great points. I love them and thank you for sharing. I know that on Thursday we had our Connect and Grow Health and Disability Expo over in Melton, and I got there super early and my poor little car was so packed because at this particular expo I had to like pick up the food and take the food and the tea and the coffee and all of that, you know, for everybody there. Anyway, I did me, right? So I ran things the way I thought that we should do it. And at the end of it, and the day was a great success and we've got some great photos and video and things like that. And apparently, like on my TikTok, because I put a video up on TikTok, it's had over 12,000 views. So I'm like, oh,
wow,
awesome. Like, that's super cool. Like, you know, I don't know what will come of that, but super cool. But where I'm going with this is at the end. So in my mind, I was like, yeah, we'll do our networking event bit at the end, right? Because I'm just thinking, let's get in, get set up, let's open the doors, get people talking to people because it's their day, right? They've got to shine bright for their business. Well, you know, probably we probably had three quarters of the exhibitors stay for the end bit. And I said to everybody, now, I am asking for your honest feedback. So what did you like and what could I do better? Because if you don't tell me what I can do better, I have no clue what I can do better. So only a few people in the room actually know me well enough that, like, and I said, I'm not going to be offended. I'll either take it on board or I won't, but I'm actually giving you permission to give me feedback. So we went around the room and it wasn't until we got close to, and I didn't realize this until later, half of the room was the people that I know quite well and the other half of the room were the people that I only sort of knew. And it was just ironic, it turned out. Anyway, we get to one of the exhibitors and he turns around and I said, you know, so what did you enjoy? What did you like? What could we do better? And he said, well, as with everyone, the food was great. And went, awesome. Food was good. We fed them. Job well done. And he said, you know, at one point there was a bit of a lull. So he said, you know, he would have liked probably a few more people, but generally the flow of people was really good. So I'm like, okay, come on. Somebody's got to have something that we can improve on, right? And he said, but, you know, Jackie, we all had the opportunity during the day to actually talk to each other, which was really good because then we could actually refer during the day. So having the networking part at the end, if we hadn't have got to know each other, we probably wouldn't have been able to do that referral kind of system, like come and meet such and such, you know, which I personally did a few times as well. I went, yeah, good point. And he goes, so, and we're also tired. Just want to go home now. And I went, oh, good point. He goes, so, if you did that in the morning and just did an extension of the meeting that we did, that might work better. Now, I've just realized in sharing this that I'm actually giving all my competitors some really great ideas, right?
But you'll do them your way though. So
exactly. You know. So they're going to only be Jackie's way. They're not going to be anyone else's way. So with this, I went, you know what? Yeah, that's great. And then he said something else, and then he kind of looked at me, and then he went, you're processing, aren't you? And I went, yes, I am. Like, how can I do this better? But I then turned to the rest of the room and I said, this is how we grow, right? But one of the things that and I thanked everybody for their feedback, and we continued around the room, and, you know, we got a lot of positives, and we got a couple of other ideas. But it was the whole thing of sometimes it's important, and this goes two ways. So one way is, if we're about to give someone feedback on something, I personally now take the approach of, do you mind if I give you some feedback? I actually ask them now. To ask for permission. I don't assume, even if they've posted on Facebook, I'm trying to work out which car to buy. I'm going between a Honda and a Mazda. I don't know. I'm just making this up. Yeah. Okay, so they've just made a statement, really. They didn't say, I would love your thoughts, or I'd love your opinions. And so with that, I now ask permission. So when someone comes to me with unsolicited advice, I tend to turn around and think, did I actually ask you for this? And am I receptive to hearing?
Yeah.
Because if I'm not receptive to hearing and you just give it to me, I'm probably going to be defensive.
Yeah.
Which closes my mind off, doesn't it?
Yeah. And but, I mean, and that's incredibly self-aware, though, too, to actually even be thinking that, because sometimes that happens all in like a few seconds and you haven't even had time to process what's happening. So, yeah, incredibly self-aware to even be aware that that is what's happening internally and to ask that question. And I think that's really valuable, because I think a lot of the time we, you know, we might go, oh, we want to help. We, you know, it's all from an altruistic, you know, we want to help somebody. But, you know, especially, you know, as a mum, you know, there's times when you go, yep, life experience, I've learned a few things. I could probably impart a few pearls of wisdom to my children. But, like, if they're not in the right place to hear it, you know, all it's going to do is, yeah, just create, yeah, once again, that defensiveness. And in a sense, you know, experience is probably the best teacher. And sometimes it is, you know, working out, right, you know, when is a good time to give that bit of feedback or a bit of advice. And I really love that. Yeah, asking, because if you ask, then they can go, well, actually, yeah, it would be good, really. You know, I actually would like your opinion, or I would like your advice or feedback on this. And then it's great. But, yeah, it is tricky when you can see you want to give the feedback. But they're not ready. They're not in that right space. And you just have to stand back and go, yep, you know what, it's gonna work out, and it just might be a bit bumpy, or might go a little bit of a different way, might take a little bit of time. But yeah, and I think in terms of that feedback as well, you know, it was really nice how they gave the feedback. And once again, in how we give our feedback, you don't make it personal. So yes. You actually, you know, talk about the situation, or, you know, how you're feeling, rather than imposing how you think somebody else should be feeling about it, how you feel and how it impacts you, rather than, or to talk about the situation, rather than, yeah, it's a personal, you know, attack on, you know, the actual individual. So yeah, that's where there's another process that I use Lego Serious Play in some of my workshops, and that is a perfect example of where I absolutely love in terms of the process. And yes, we're using Lego and we're building a response to a question, and we build it using Lego. And it might sound a bit out there, but you know, there's a process to actually getting to there so people feel comfortable. But what I love about the process is that people build their models, and at the end of the building time, we talk about, you know, what we've built and about the model. And if people have questions, they talk about the model. They're not actually talking about the person. And so you know, even the where we're all looking at an external object outside of us. So when you're commenting about what is external, rather than, you know, sometimes you can be in a meeting situation and you're talking to the person and the person's going, oh, well, yeah, it's an actual personal attack, or, you know, they're interpreting it that way, or a judgment about them, when in fact, it's about the process. And, you know, as you found, like, feedback, if it's given in a kind way and in an objective way, then it actually is actually beneficial. Like, it helps you as well as all the other exhibitors and, you know, new people that attend your events.
And that's it. That also, I'm part of a group, a business. It's business coaching group mentorship, and often, you know, we do our share, you know, so it could be our wins. It could be, it's just kind of like, what's the week been? Like, just share the week that's been, kind of thing. And always, like, often, you know, if we're listening to somebody, so say I was listening to your share, and I might just be getting this, oh, go Natalia, that's amazing. So I might write you a comment, you know, so that you can read it, but you can still share, you can still be focused. And then sometimes when it's coming to, I've got this, you know, deal and I'm just trying to work out how to best market it, our coach, the person that runs it, facilitator is what I wanted, he will say, are you open to feedback from the group? And it's a really great opportunity to go, yes, please, that would be great, because obviously we're all building relationships in the group as well. Or actually, no, you know what? I just needed to say it aloud. I just needed to feel heard. And I think that sometimes, and this is just my observation, and I'd love your input on it, I think sometimes people I get this around the wrong way. I always get the wrong words. So sometimes people are listening, but they're not hearing us. That's the way. And so they go, yeah, I'm listening. And you go, no, I just heard you go, wow, oh my God, I just like died in my game that I'm playing. So you might be listening, but are you actually hearing me? And sometimes I think we just want to be heard, but we don't necessarily need a solution.
Yeah, and I suppose it comes down to how we like to process things as well. So especially if we're auditory processing. So it's not just listening about, you know, listening and processing information. So, you know, podcasts and, yeah, things like, listening to radios and interacting that way and listening is a good way for people that have a strong in their auditory processing, but also talking, like actually talking out your ideas, because sometimes you just need to say it out loud and then you go, oh, actually that's what that sounds like, and now I can actually hear, you know, what am I actually trying to say? And sometimes you're saying it and you're sort of hearing yourself say it at the same time, and sometimes that is enough, or it's enough, just to go, look, I just need to download, I just need to let it out, and then I don't need you to fix it. I think you know some people, and I suppose it is, you know, you go, oh, you know, I really want to help somebody else, and you know, depending on where we're at, you know, and maybe we just like to fix things, and you know, that gives us great joy, but if the person isn't actually open or wanting you to fix anything, they just want to go, I just want to download, I just want to share my experience, because essentially that's what you're doing. I just want to share that this happened to me and this is how I reacted, and that's it. And that's actually given me the space to actually also, have a bit of distance and actually see it perhaps in a different way, you know, rather than just always in my head as well. That's the other thing, you know, we can tend to, you know, have things got replay.
And that's one of the other things too, is that we like we often being ADHD and having those traits, I can become hyper-fixated on something. And sometimes it's a hyper-fixation and sometimes it's a hyper-focus. And the difference for me personally is that if I'm focused, I'm actually on it, I'm on task, I'm getting it done. But if I'm fixated, it's more like, yeah, I just can't let this go, like at all. I have to really, and that can be both a positive and a negative, because the negative is in both of those states of I might forget to eat, I might forget to drink. Mm-hmm. So I've had to put strategies in place where if I say to people, they'll go, oh, what are you up to? What are you doing? And I'll say, I'm actually just working. I've got to get this magazine out. Like, I've got to get this done, or I've got to get this task done. And people keep calling me and people actually want my business. How dare they? Like, you know, it's kind of like really annoying people. Leave me alone. Call me tomorrow. I'm joking. But it's one of those things that where I have literally found I've spent a lot of time getting to know my traits of who I am as a person, learning to identify when I'm actually reacting to somebody versus responding. So that's where taking that deep breath like you talked about, or three rings on the phone, learning to say to people, hey, how are you going? Do you mind if I just like run this idea by you? Or do you mind? And actually ask their permission rather than just assume that because they're chatting to me, they actually want to hear the whatever's going on. And the other tool I do, so I don't put my stuff onto a lot of people, is I use the voice recording on my phone. So the voice recorder on my phone, if I need to hear it aloud. If I need to see it, I actually write it out. So I might journal.
Wow, that's an awesome tip. I hadn't even thought about the voice recorder. Yeah, that's an awesome way of journaling or processing if you need to have that, yeah, talking aloud processing time. Great.
Yeah, because sometimes we, as you said, we don't need anyone to fix it. We actually have all the answers. We're pretty set, especially for someone like myself that researches. So often I've looked at nearly every potential angle of something, whether I'm problem solving or whether I'm creating something new or whatever it is. So often I don't need the mainstream. Hey, my fan's not working and I'm not really sure. I've kind of plugged it in, but, you know, I'm not sure what to do. No, I would have researched it well and truly to almost be at the point where I need a new fan, and only then, so I don't need the basic, have you tried turning it off and turning it back on kind of solution. So I'm also starting to educate people that that's how I work. Like I actually don't require the mainstream stuff, but it's taken a long time to get here. And as my sister said not long ago, we were out for lunch with my sister and my mum for my birthday in November, and my sister said that she said it's a work in progress of she can only control what she can control within her environment, and that how other people and what decisions other people make and what actions they take, a little bit like with the kids and age and things like that. I'm going to come back to that Black Dragons Radio. I'll share what that is in a minute with everyone else that's listening, because that was an interesting comment. But that, you know, so for example, if our children want to live a certain lifestyle and it's not causing harm to anyone else, but we don't kind of necessarily agree with it, we have a choice on how we choose to respond or react to that situation. And then if they're doing something that we don't quite agree with, but they're all still safe and no one's getting harmed, then it can be something that can open up a conversation I'd just like to learn more about. So Black Dragons Radio has said, I see hologram video being future for calling. That's interesting. So it's a possibility. Yeah, that'll be interesting. What do you think, Natalia? Hologram video calling of the future.
I actually
will there be a reject button?
I've actually seen a demo of somebody that had set.
We did that, didn't we?
I had set that up, but I can see. Yeah, you know, it's definitely a possibility. And I think
that was at that networking event.
It was, yes.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm sure things will get a lot more sophisticated over time. And, you know, you just think about even, like video calling and just where we've gone in terms of, the technology advances. And once again, like, all right, ringing on a phone where you're chatting, you know, just, you know, on their way out. I mean, how many people have a landline anymore rather than even a mobile, let alone, you know, talking on the phone?
I've got a phone with the buttons and it's out in the garage. So, and I've still got the cord and I could still probably plug it in and it should still work. but the internet company told me that it's going to rely on the internet to work. And I went, some days it would just be easier to use that phone because it might not get so static and it should get a better reception.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think things are evolving. But I think people, at the end of the day, we crave that connection. So whether or not it's talking on the phone or if it's a Zoom or messaging, actually seeing somebody on your screen while you're talking to them or in person, my goodness, the old fashioned way. you know, I think there's always going to be, people are always going to be wanting some form of connection and reaching out to people. So yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised that the way that we're connecting now will be, it'll definitely evolve over time. So it'd be an interesting space just to see, how things change.
I think it doesn't matter at the end of the day what tool we use to connect. As you said, we crave connection. We're human beings. We are born to be part of community. Whatever that community looks like. So I talked about the at least two different types of community in the magazine. Change is part of, I'm not sure Black Dragons Radio if you're referring to change being part of nature, but that's exactly what I talked about in the magazine as well, that it is a natural state. You know, if the leaves, thank you for the clarity. If the leaves don't fall from the tree during winter, then how can they have new growth? Because they've got to have that hibernation period. And it's the same as all of us. We have to have, and I don't use the words have to a lot, but have our moments of being on and our moments of being off. So whatever the forms of communication that come in the future, and it would be really, really funny to actually listen back to this in about 30 years. I don't think I'll be alive, but, you know, if it's still about, it'll just be something that, you know, to listen back and go, oh, my God, that was just such old thinking, wasn't it?
and that's the other thing, like, because we don't know what we don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, we've got no idea, you know, and they talk about, you know, careers. Like, you think about all the careers that are now available that, you know, were so, you know, social, anything related to social media, like, you know, wasn't there, you know, 30 years ago. And I mean, you think about all the jobs that were around 100 years ago that just, completely automated, or no one, you know, no one has to do any of that anymore.
Well, I looked at, just recently, I was talking to my son about AI. Like, it just kind of, I don't like to talk about AI, to be honest. I remember what it was like before social media. Yes, Black Dragons Radio, so do I. but I said, because my son and I were talking about, checking in with people, like, you know, how often do we check in with people? Anyway, this is a bit of a story, but we're not going to go into that. And then he said, you know, so sometimes I see that you've been on social media and I see the spelling mistake. And I went, oh, I'm still doing spelling mistakes. Like, I'm actually using this AI thing because I have some dyslexia. So I'm actually using some, like, this tool, and it's meant to help me not have as many spelling mistakes and get the grammar around the right way, especially if I'm fatigued. Anyway, he goes, see how good AI is? It's just not there. And I went, yeah. I said, but ironically, and I'm not the first person to point out that it's, if you're using it for those kind of things, it's really not good to use it just on its own. Like, you really do need to actually read and check. But there is, there was a company here in Australia that one of the phone companies was talking about letting go of a lot of people because the AI part they can, like, automate now. And I'm like, we still need human connection.
Yeah.
I really, you know, I really think that for us to be as human beings, to evolve, to really continue to grow and to be the best that we can be within our own self, our own being, we still need that human connection, that human touch. Like, I remember my neighbor came over one day and I was really stressed over a few things. And so she listened. It was great. And at the end of it, she said, do you mind if I give you a hug? And I went, no, that's fine, because I actually like to give hugs and things like that. She gave me this hug and I started crying. I'm like, what on earth is wrong with me? And she,
nothing, it was just your nervous system, you know, actually probably having a bit of a release.
Oh, so I hadn't had a decent hug in ages. So it was kind of like this whole thing. But yeah. Black Dragons Radio has just said, the only thing I don't like about AI is how it could lead to Terminator future. It's a scary thing to think about. Yeah, we're not going to think about that today, but thanks for the share. That was awesome. And I say that with love. For anyone that's listening, Black Dragons Radio was on our, interacting with me. I think it was on Friday. We had a, you know, a bit of a banter going. So yeah, look, I think too, sometimes, with change, one of the things that I also do is I sort of do the best to think of the worst case scenario. And it's something that I think it was Sir Richard Branson kind of put out there initially. I think that that's how I came to it. But, you know, what is the worst case scenario of this situation? And can I handle that? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the worst case scenario is going to happen. It just gives you kind of a parameter to do it. So, for example, the next event that I'm looking at, I'm like, so what if we doubled the amount of exhibitors? Okay, how much more work is that going to be for me? And what do we need? And what could possibly go wrong with that number? And what do I need in case it does? And that's how I look at it, is more of a, can I handle it? Now, if I can't handle the worst case scenario, I then pull it right back and go, right, maybe now's not the right time. Maybe you need to do more research.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, that's sort of any risk sort of management approach really, isn't it? And sort of just going, well, what are your risks and how likely are they to happen? That's the other thing. I mean, sometimes we can go, oh, you know, what if this happens and then, yeah, some what we think bad thing will happen, but you go, well, actually, how likely is that to happen and how likely are the good, you know, benefits to happen of this change, you know? So that's the other thing to sort of have a look at, yeah, the sort of likelihood of things. And, you know, it's great that sort of contingency planning as well to go, all right, well, how can I support myself better that just in case that does happen, yeah, what can I do to help me get through that?
Yeah, 100%. Well, Natalia, we are out of time. It's been great having you on the show. And Black Dragons Radio, thank you for all the love. I really appreciate it. To anyone that's listening to this recording, we will have Natalia's details in the write-up. It probably won't be up until this afternoon, so you can have a link to Natalia's website. Of course, we're going to give you the link to the magazine because we'd love you to have a look at that as well, and Natalia's details are in there as well. It's been really great having you on the show, and I think that it's been a really great topic, the change and challenges and mindset and what we do. And Natalia will be back next month. We'll share with you what we're going to talk about then once I decide what the magazine happens is. No, what I've done is I've done a bit of research to find out what are the themes of the month for April, and so that we can lead into a little bit of that as well and how it brings our life together. Love the love from the people that listen and share. So thanks so much, guys. And as we do with every show, we're going out on with our break-free song.
Thank you.